We are 30 days away from the second anniversary, a memorial, if you will, for the four students who lost their lives at Oxford High School on November 30th of 2021. And for 2 years, parents have been demanding answers. They had hoped to get it through an independent investigation into this. Guidepost Solutions was hired, and last night, the second phase of their report was delivered. And it is a damning one. They blame the shooter. They blame his parents, but they say the systems that were in place that should have prevented this from happening failed. And as a result, what was an avoidable tragedy was allowed to happen. Todd Flood, attorney and managing partner at Flood Law, has reviewed this 500-page report and joins us live this morning. Todd, good morning.
Good morning, Guy.
There is a system, a threat assessment system. It has evolved and become more sophisticated with each mass shooting, but also since Columbine. Tell me about how it failed here. One of the things that Guidepost points out is, yes, you had a policy, but you didn't have guidelines. What happened there?
I think the biggest thing here is when you have any red flag whatsoever, it's a very low threshold to start the triggers to take place. And this low threshold, one, wasn't recognized by the counselor, wasn't recognized by the dean of students. And this was November 29th and November 30th, 2 days of a perfect storm where recognition, one, of the policies of a low threshold, two, the training that just was either, one, they didn't really care about the training because they had adopted, the board had said, we're going to use this, but they never really put in any significant training as it relates to how to recognize. Think about it, right? When the counselor, when the dean of students and are together on the 29th and the 30th, they know about guns, they know about bullets, they know about the threats, they know about my life is over, the images won't stop. They have everything. And then the teacher brings the backpack on that 30th to the office, which has the gun and the ammunition used to kill. On a suicide watch, which they both believed, all of them believed, that the shooter was lying about whether or not he wanted to hurt himself or others, right there, you don't need consent to search that bag. You have to. You must look for some instrument that could hurt yourself or hurt the person.
And Todd, the Oxford High School, I mean, they have a district suicide intervention process that they didn't even follow through with.
No, you're absolutely right. They didn't follow with any of it. And on top of it, it is something where they had the knowledge. This is what's not comporting to common sense. For every joke six-pack out there, this is what doesn't comport to common sense. You have knowledge, Lloyd, that this person is, and you admit it to the police, that this person is a threat to himself or others, but yet you push it aside and don't follow the protocol. How do you put those, you juxtapose those two thoughts, and it doesn't make sense? So it seems to me they take this conscientious decision, this overact, to basically push things to the side and leave it for another day. And it's best to, instead of getting him into a counselor or best to making intervention, we might as well keep him around others. That didn't make sense. And it doesn't make sense to anybody else. You don't need a psychiatry degree to understand that assessment. This report, and I got to tell you, I know Andrew O'Connell and his work with Guidepost. This is a heavy lift, and he took a lot of heat here. But this is a treatise on everything we should know and learn for schools and failures of schools and successes of schools going forward. This is, I think, really, really well written, well researched, documented, and there's no way we have enough time on this call to cover off 500 plus pages.
Todd, you read the report. For the parents moving forward, what should they push for? What has to come out of this?
You know, that's such a tough question, representing family in this case. You know, there's no justice here. There's a modicum of mercy, but there's really no justice, right? I think what parents and my parents want more than anything is, you know, a change agent of some sort. They have lived this twice now, once with one school member or one student that was shot at the school, and then another one of their children was at Michigan State last year. And I think that the biggest thing for them is transparency, honesty, integrity that goes forward with the school district, and a change agent. Can't turn back the hands of time here. And all of them, I've met a lot of the families that have lost their children. And I think that the biggest part of this is closure to this chapter and trying to mourn and trying to grieve mm-hmm. going forward, because it's just been a Band-Aid being pulled off so many times.
We've only got a little over 60 seconds here, Todd, but what will sure. those parents think as they read this report? And time and again, they will see that investigators wanted to interview so-and-so, but they refused or declined. And mm-hmm. it appears that this was encouraged by some in the leadership of the district. Now, there's been a change there, and I understand that. But what? Tell me what has happened to the trust in the leadership when they read that there was a big lack of cooperation with the investigators here.
Yeah, that's a big question. And I understand lawyers have jobs to do with regards to not having clients necessarily participate in investigations because they may say incriminating things. But this is one of those things where it should have been mandated. It looks almost a foul. It almost looks like a little bit of obstruction here to me. And the fact of the matter is we have a thing called Garrity, or we have mandated testimony that must be given through employment purposes and the like. I think something to that extent should have been done here, because it does smell, Guy. It does have that stench of
CYA.
What
it smells like, and that's that's frustrating. Very quickly, Todd, a headline in the Detroit Free Press today that apparently Jennifer Crumbly may be turning on her husband James, saying that the bulk of the responsibility for not intervening on behalf of their son belongs to him. How damning and how troubling would that be if she testifies for the prosecution?
We predicted this a little while ago. I think it's mandated that two things the prosecution must do. They must, by the rules of ethics, get in front of the court to make sure that there is no conflict of interest and any conflict has been waived, because an attorney that represents one of the defendants, if that attorney got secrets or communications from the other defendant, that may put a huge conflict if once, you know, all of a sudden basically points the finger at the other. If the government wanted to, if Karen McDonough, who this report doesn't change anything of Karen's case, but if Karen McDonough wanted to suggest a debriefing of the mom in exchange for a plea deal of some sort to testify against the father, if there was some particular issue that they thought that they may have issues with, that could be put on the table. But I think the first step that must take place is you better make sure that there's no conflicts here, because that could really jeopardize potentially the case from going forward, or a mistrial later on.
Or a mistrial, yeah. Todd Flood, thanks so much. We appreciate your insights into this troubling report. Take care,
thanks,
my friend.
Thanks so much. All you right. too.
Todd Flood, managing partner at Flood Law. When we come back, we're going to lighten things up, not a little bit, a lot. We're going to be talking to the newest member of the Pride of the Lions, Lomas Brown. We've also got some Johnny Cash tickets to give away. It's all ahead on JR Morning.